the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be there in a moment with that. I'm still on this series. This talks about how risk brings reward. I want to appreciate you guys, or say I appreciate you guys for helping the Eklunds last week. They really appreciate the love, generosity sown towards them, just in financial ways, but also in the way that you responded to the teaching ministry last week of the Word of God. There was a great word there about hearing God's voice. Hope you've been putting those things in practice. The main thing is we're hearing God better and better all the time, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate our young people, our children, who are so diligent there to learn all the scriptures there, learn verses. And the Bible does tell us again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we have great children of faith in this congregation. Amen. May their faith just grow more and more and more. In this next message this morning here about how risk will bring reward to us, I'm going to speak about how when life gets messy, because sometimes life does get messy. Sometimes things happen inside of our lives that breaks loose all around us and creates some stains. It creates sometimes some scars and some marks and some bruises. And what does God want us to do with things in our life when life happens to get messy for us? I had Kristen find a little YouTube clip for us that shows a game I haven't even seen yet. Might want to use this at the picnic as well. And this shows here again an example of what happens when risks take place. We play risky games, and the games even can get messy. Go ahead and shout YouTube if you do that. That little clip would help us out. There we go. Oh, no, one more. Okay. I think it stops with that. This will be a great game here. Again, I'm not sure it's going to be Nate or going to be Sarah, but it's going to be one of those two, amen, in this game coming up here for the picnic. And so sometimes, again, we're seeing here how risky things in life can actually leave a mess in our lives as well. But God, again, is the one who says, I'm going to take every mess we go through in life and somehow bring a message to us from that mess, amen. I'm going to give you guys some take-home points or write some things down here again about what we do again when life gets messy. What are some things, some keys, some action points we can take ourselves? I want you to really take these things to heart, because I really discerned today again that some of you folks are going through perhaps some messy times in relationships, some messy times perhaps in marriages or in work situations, messy times in finances, even maybe perhaps messy times in your own body, going through things where your aches and creaks and things are going on in your bodies that have been very, very messy. What are some action steps God would give us in the scriptures about what to do when things get messy, how risk will bring reward to us? The first thing is, write this down, please, in your notes. Get the words, get rooted, get rooted. God wants roots to go down deeper and deeper for us, so whenever messy times happen, we don't find ourselves wavering and giving up. We find ourselves so firmly planted by the Spirit of God, we find ourselves even stronger on the other side. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. One of the ways we get rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ is found actually in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where it says, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Do you realize that word weight in the Hebrew language actually means those who gather together, those who do that will find themselves being strengthened by God and find their strength getting renewed again and again and again. That's the word the Holy Spirit gave me this morning, was that word renewal. And I believe God's got a renewal anointing released upon people today that God wants to take and renew our strength. We don't want to separate ourselves and go into isolation when messy things take place in our lives. In our own human nature, our tendency is to just miss churches, miss church services, stay out of congregations, stay out of crowds of people, stay away from our friends and loved ones because the messy thing may have embarrassed us, it may have hurt us, it may have wounded us. The last thing you want to do is try to find yourself by yourself and away from the people in the body of Christ. Amen? Because we are members of the body of Christ. The Bible says he is the head, but we are those that are called the branches. And there's a root that's called the root of Jesse. And he's not only the head, he's also the root that's below us. He's below us, he's above us. And God says we must be fitly joined together because every branch supplies life to each other by that sap that flows through it, that spiritual sap, because Jesus Christ is the foundation, he is the root, but he's also the head, and he flows in the members of the body of Christ. When we find ourselves becoming disconnected, we find that life flow of God's kingdom being cut off from us somehow, some way. There's actually ministry that takes place by us coming together like this on a Sunday morning to praise God, to worship God, to break bread, to break the word of God together and hear what God is saying to us. There's actually a ministry inside of our own souls that will build us up and help our roots go down deeper and deeper and deeper with God's help. Amen? Another thing we want to avoid is asking the question, why me? You got to realize you're no peculiar person yourself, and the fact that all believers even are going to go through some messy times up on the face of this earth. You live in a fallen world. You've got fallen people who are all around you that are imperfect. Amen? It's the truth. There's some imperfect folks around you right now today, and these guys do imperfect things that are going to sometimes mess your life up and bring in some overturning of the carts of your life as well. So I want to read here 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, about Paul the Apostle, because Paul the Apostle wrote over half the New Testament. This guy is a great theologian. He's a great man of God. He's up there in heaven right now, I'm sure, in a great place of authority that God's going to give to him for all eternity for what he did upon the earth. But Paul the Apostle, full of faith, full of the Spirit, full of God's favor and God's grace, says these things to the Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 23 and 29, 2 Corinthians. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned," that's stoned in the natural sense, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness, and besides all this other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation even inside of my life? But notice here, for all these trials and turmoils and tortures that Paul the Apostle goes through, he never says those two words, why me? God is telling us again, my grace is sufficient for you, and I will cause you to walk through valleys of shadows of death. And I will always make sure my goodness and mercy will follow you every day of your life. But don't ask yourself, why me, when all these bad things take place? The main thing is, look to God, look to Jesus, because he will see us through the messes of life when our roots are down deeply. For some reason, the Holy Spirit has us hovering around the book of 1 Samuel quite a bit this past few weeks here. And so I'm going to give some also verses this morning here about life getting messy for a person in 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 29. The second point to write down in your notes this morning is write down these two words, avoid bitterness. When life gets messy, first of all, get rooted. Stay rooted there. Know where your roots are tapped into. Number two, avoid getting bitter. Avoid bitterness. You're going to hear those words again in any good, healthy church. You're going to hear about being warned about bitterness and unforgiveness at least a few times every year, because our human tendency, again, is to lean towards getting angry, having hurts and wounds put upon us by people around us, and then getting bitter from the wounds put on us in this life. We've got to avoid that root of bitterness. Amen. So let's read now 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'm going to read here verses 1 through 4 from this. Let me find this quickly. 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 4, talks about David running from Saul. They've gone through a victory here where Saul's been killed. David's about to become the king of all Israel. There's been anointing from that. Does not know it's going to happen quite this quickly yet. And now right before David's biggest time of promotion and exaltation comes the worst day of his life. Chapter 30, verse 1 says this: "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked and burned it with fire. They had taken captive the women and those who were also there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had all been taken captive." Verse 4, "Then David and the people who were with him lifts up their voices. They weep until they had no more power to weep." Now, the Bible tells us very plainly here that David is living so right before God, even the ungodly Philistines note the righteousness that David walks in. They see him as a just and a right man. They even say it with their own mouths there. They're ungodly heathens that are pagans, and they can see that this is a righteous man living before the Lord. So David's not involved in sin. David did nothing evil to give Satan place to do this evil thing to him in the place of the burning of Ziklag and the robbing of all their livestock and the kidnapping of all their sons and daughters and wives. And so it's a very bad thing that takes place here. Now, again, I want to say bad things happen to good people. Amen? You all realize that if you've been here alive more than 15 years on the earth, that sometimes bad things happen to good people, but good things happen to righteous people beyond that. Amen? So all they had now, the Bible says, and they come back to Ziklag, is a city on fire. Everything's been burned up, been stolen, been plundered, been looted, been kidnapped, and taken from them, and the city is burning down. And the Bible says they wept until they had no more tears even to weep. They were just emotionally finished and done. I know myself, I can't think of a time in my own life I actually have wept so much. I really could not weep anymore, except for one time I came close to that when I finally received a revelation of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I had a vision of seeing him hanging on a cross and started feeling a bit of the pain that God the Father went through when Christ died on the cross. I remember weeping so much in my room, I probably could not hardly weep anymore from that. But folks who've lost their wives, they've lost their husbands, they've lost a child, know what it's talking about here when it says, you weep so much, you cannot weep anymore. My own mother died when I was 10 years old. My father, for a period of 4 to 5 days at least, wept and wept and wept till he could weep no more. And I know what it actually means to see that and experience that somewhat in the lives of people. These guys were going through that themselves. They thought their kids were dead. They thought their wives were dead. They thought all was lost. And the Bible says he wouldn't even take and kill and stone David. He goes on in verse 6 and says this: "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David," it says here, "but David became angry and bitter and said, okay, God, if you're going to work like this in my life, let Saul chase me, let myself be plundered, lose my wife, my sons. I quit. I give up. I'm going to become a Philistine." Is that what it says here? No, praise God, it does not say that, but it could have said that. It says this: "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David's day had gone from bad to worse to even worse. Things are going down and down and down in his life. When it says here the soul of all the people was actually grieved, that word grieved means they were full of bitterness. These men had all gone into a realm of being bitter in their lives. In the Bible also, it says there are two heart issues that are spoken of, that a root is attached to that negative heart issue. Now, it's not the words anger, not the word lust, not the word fear. There's no word root attached to those two words. The two words are this: the love of money is one of those, is the root of all evil. And also says there's a root of bitterness. So you've got to realize that bitterness has got actually a root attached to that. That makes it a very, very dangerous thing in your life, because roots can spring out. Roots can go many, many places. And roots can actually take and gain some ground and bring ongoing produce and fruit of a negative nature also in your life. The dictionary defines bitterness. It says bitterness is intense hostility. One of the big things you have to look out for when life gets messy is you don't become bitter and find yourself full of intense hostility in your life. You can see the problem with roots. As my wife and I, Cheryl, when we first moved to Austin years and years ago, we had a cottonwood tree in our front yard. Now, cottonwood trees are very tall, got great branches. This thing was about 50, 40 feet tall, perhaps, in our front yard. But the problem with cottonwood trees is their roots stay close to the surface, and all the whole entire front yard was covered in great big roots coming out of the ground. When it came time to mow the grass, we would bounce and bump over all these obstacles of roots all throughout the entire front yard. What's the other problem with cottonwood trees? Every year around springtime, they put out all these cottony seeds that blow all over the neighborhood and really irritate people that are trying to keep their yards and their cars and driveways clean. Amen? Bad roots bring out bad fruits. Irritations on the ground bring out irritations in the air. A root of bitterness affects every single part of your life. Not just your anger toward the person that made you bitter, but towards all things you touch upon the face of the earth. We cannot afford bitterness in our lives. Amen? In the church I was raised in Kansas, this young lady in her teens, about 17 years old now, she'd gone through a very, very rough life. I'd seen her from the time she was about 10 or 11 years old in the church. She was, unfortunately, as time went by, could not control her weight, could not control her anger, could not control her temper, could not control her mouth, didn't make very good grades in school. She spoke before she thought, and she made a lot of enemies at school, made enemies at church. As time goes by, a lot of folks didn't like her very much because she was too strongly opinionated there. And as time goes by, she's getting more and more angry, more and more bitter toward all the things in life she's facing, feeling, seeing herself as a victim upon the face of the earth, wanting to even die as time goes by. One time on a Sunday night, our major organist, who's also in her teens, probably 18 years old at this time or so, she was very, very jealous of her because she was a very, very attractive young lady. She had a very wealthy family. She had all that she wanted to have in life. She was popular. She was liked by boys in the church, so forth, so on. And so as this organist walks by this other young lady full of bitterness on a Sunday night, going to the organ to play the organ that night for worship, this young lady reaches out with her hands and grabs her pantyhose and rips her hose right down the side, letting her go there just totally embarrassed now in front of the whole church with ripped up pantyhose onto the organ. That's pretty radical, amen? We haven't had that happen yet in Tree of Life Church, praise God. That better not happen, amen? But I'm saying there, that is the example of how people that have bitterness inside their own lives, it starts touching and polluting everything around them on an ongoing basis. Now, that may be an extreme example, but I'm saying again, you're going to find that people are not drawn to people full of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. God wants us to have a Christ-like nature in us, where no root of bitterness can come inside of us, take root in us, and have dominion over our lives as well. Notice also, when the circumstances happened to David that could lead to bitterness, it says some of the men leaned toward being bitter. Most of them did. But the Bible says David went down one road. The other men went down another road. And the road that David chose was the better road. Amen? When life gets messy, you're going to have to take and make a decision in your life. Will I go down the road that David goes down and say, I'm going to take and say, this all is going to be in the hands of the Lord. I've gone through a bad loss. I've been victimized in an unfair way. All these bad things took place in my life, but I still will put my face, my trust in the Lord And I will say, he will see me through somehow, some way. The other guys, the multitude of around him, did not do that. They picked up stones to stone him. We've got to ask ourselves this question. If those guys had killed David that day, would it have brought their wives back to them? Would that have brought their sons and daughters back to them? If they got revenge, got angry, wanted to have murder take place, would it bring any good thing back into their lives? And of course, the answer is no. And the answer is also no for you and I today. When you try to seek revenge and try to seek death or try to think of words or thoughts to have harmful things take place or by folks who wrong us somehow, some way, it only harms you. It does not harm them. And God is saying to us, you must guard our hearts. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in us, lest it takes and defiles many people upon the earth. Notice that David here in this verse, I read to you a moment ago in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David went to, the Bible says, he went to the Lord, his God. That word, the Lord, is the word Yahweh. Yahweh is the same name that Jesus Christ himself used. When David goes through a great turmoil of loss in his life, he goes to Yahweh, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Yahweh means Redeemer, Savior, and Deliverer, the same name of Jesus Christ. Not Jehovah Nissi, not Jehovah Rohi, not Jehovah Sidkenu. He goes to the Redeemer and the Savior and the Deliverer when bad things take place in his life. And God is saying again that Yahweh is who you call upon in the time of mess in your life. God is my Deliverer. God is my Savior. God is my Redeemer. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will repay, says the Lord. Amen? Remind yourself of that when messes take place. The third thing here, number three, is write this down, please, is strengthen yourself in the Lord. When messes take place in our lives, we must find this way to strengthen ourselves like David did in the Lord. The word strengthened here, again, in the Hebrew language actually means this. It means to seize upon, it means to cleave to, and it means to fasten yourself onto. When messes take place in our lives, it's time to cleave to God, cling to God, seize God by his own legs or his waist or his own feet, and say, I will not let go till my Deliverer, my Redeemer, and my Savior shows up and brings something redemptive out of the mess I'm going through right now in my life. I told the congregation here several months ago, I think about a year ago or so as well, about how the lady in our block whose son died in the Desert Storm War several years back. This guy has actually been, they renamed the post office after him there in Round Rock because of the heroic deeds he did in the Iraqi War. This guy was killed in his late teens, about 19 years old. The lady there is by herself now. I think she's going through a divorce. Her husband's died, one of the two, several years ago. And in this house by herself, I told you folks about a year ago how I started seeing, first of all, an American flag in her front window. Then I began to see a symbol of the Marines on her front yard surrounded by stones. Then I started seeing a cross next to that. Then I started seeing a Marine flag, an American flag, hanging in the front of her driveway. And I started seeing more and more symbols appearing in her yard more and more every single month as time was going by. And I began to ask the Holy Spirit, I said, now, Father God, why is this woman, why is she doing more and more things like this to honor her own son who died of a very tragic death? And the Holy Spirit said very plain back to me, he said, she's afraid of losing the memory of him. And the memories are going more and more in her mind. And she's doing things to remind herself of who her son was in this life. You see, that pain is so great, that mess is so big, that sometimes we find ourselves trying to cling to and seize the memories of the death and not seize the memories of God and Jesus Christ and grab hold of his feet and his legs and his arms. And the tragic thing is, as time has gone by now, this woman about a year ago in the newspaper was found to be going very, very fast in her car in Austin, Texas, and slams into a tree or something of an object, and she dies. And now she's dead today. I think it was a very, very premature death. And I think God had better things for that woman. I grieve for her as well, losing her son like that. But I'm saying when messy things take place, don't grab a hold of the thing that can cause the bitterness and cause the pain and the angst and the death. Grab hold of the one of life, who is Jesus Christ. And I'm saying it's time to eventually let those things go that have taken place to cause messes in our lives, and then move on in the things of God, because God is not finished with you yet. And he's got a great future for you. But he cannot work with people who have a root of bitterness working in them from things that are messy in their lives. When life gets messy, we need to take and remind ourselves that God's gifting and God's callings also have no repentance. That means if somebody would die that's close to you in your own family, that does not mean you're no longer an evangelist. You're no longer a teacher. You're no longer an usher or a deacon. All those things that God put inside your life for giftings and callings have no repentance as long as you're alive on the face of the earth. And God is saying for a season you might find yourself grieving and mourning and being on the back burner for a season, but only let it be for a season. God still has a great bunch of fruit for you to bear upon this earth. Amen? So many folks do that. They go through a messy time and they disqualify themselves. They put themselves on the back burner. They put themselves on the shelf. And they find themselves even dropping out of local churches many times. And God is saying, don't do that. It's time to press into church, into God's people, into my word, into my presence. Do not separate yourself, but join yourself to me, says God, when messy things take place in your life. You know, Joyce Meyer talked about how even some Christians become bitter with God and angry at God themselves because God doesn't always do things the way that God should do things, we think. Joyce Meyer said, I find myself from time to time having to forgive God for things I think God does or does not do in my life, my ministry, or my family. And you know, that may sound like almost like it's blasphemous to you, but the fact is we do all know here God can do all things. God is all-powerful. God does know all things. So why does not God always wave his magic wand over us and make things get all better instantly? Why does God not do that? But God's ways are higher than our ways, and God works all things together for the good, for those that are called according to his purpose. I remember back again, 4 years ago or so, it's been like even seven, eight years ago now, Sarah's tragic thing took place in the hospital where she, on the third surgery, finds herself almost dying. She finds herself leaving her body in the spiritual realm. She says, I saw Jesus face to face in the third heavens. Jesus came to me and said, Sarah, do you want to live or do you want to join me and die? Which one do you want? And praise God, Sarah says, I still think there's more for me to do on the earth. I want to live. And at that point, she said that in the spiritual realm, Jesus put her right back in her body. The surgery was successful, and she lives today. Amen. I praise God for that. Now, what I'm trying to say about getting mad at God is, I see that, and I say, now, God, now, Jesus, why didn't you say, Sarah, you're going back to your body. You have no choice. Your dad loves you. Your dad's going to cry a whole lot of tears if you die today. Your mom needs you. You have no choice, Sarah. Get back in your body. That's what I want him to say. I want him to do that. Why did he give Sarah a choice? He's trying to break our hearts. So I'm saying sometimes God does things. We can say ourselves, why do you do things the way you do them? The fact is God knows best. And God works all things together for the good, according to those that are called to his purpose. Amen. The word strengthen also means this. It means to choose to be recovered. I want to write that down. To choose to be recovered is the word strengthened. David strengthened himself in the Lord. David chose to be recovered. He was saying right here, right now, this day, I choose to be recovered. Not down the road, not one day, not next week, not next year. I choose right now to be recovered. What he's saying to us is, it's time for us to quit rolling around in our mess. Get out of that mess and say, this is my day to be recovered in Jesus' name. I choose to be recovered. Because Jesus Christ, his resurrection and the life, he has the ability to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Deliverer in whatever mess we face in this life. The question is, will you decide today to make that paradigm shift and quit saying, I'm going to get better, I'm going to recover, and start saying, I am better, and I choose to recover this day in Jesus' name. Not I'm going to get better, not I'm going to recover, I am better, and I choose to recover this day in Jesus' name. Can you do that today? That's what God is calling us to say. Quit saying it will be in the future. It will be one day. God says this is the day of salvation. This is acceptable day of the Lord. He's already paid the price. He's already done enough for us. This is the day to recover in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8 goes on and says these words. So David inquired of the Lord, and he said, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? God answered back to David and said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. This is how recovered people will actually talk. It's like David does. David says, shall I pursue them? Shall I overtake them? Shall I get on the offensive? Shall I attack? Shall I do something? Notice what God, who does more than enough, says back to David. Notice these words. He says, you should pursue, you should overtake, and beyond that, pursue, overtake, and recover all, says the Lord. David never said recover all. God adds and recover all. God says pursue and overtake and recover all is what God says. That's what God sees for you and I. Don't just pursue the thing, overtake the thing, but as you recover the years, the days, the months, the money, the finance, the relationships that Satan has stolen from you in Jesus' name. Recover all is what he's saying. David just wanted to get even, but God wanted him to recover everything the enemy took from him for the glory of God and the blessings of Israel for days ahead. I can't tell you that recovery to you, what it's going to look like for you in specific, but I'm saying there's folks in this room today that God wants you to recover it all. Well, that means to you, only God and you can know this day what it means, what it looks like. But I'm saying God is saying to us, it's time to recover it all. The last short point here, number four, write this down, please. Jesus needs to be in your beginnings and in your endings. Jesus needs to be in your beginnings and also in your endings. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says this, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the ending. What this means here, anything that begins, God needs to begin in that beginnings. Our marriages, our relationships, our new job, local church, all of our beginnings, God must be in those beginnings. But also what it's saying here, he must also be in our endings, because sometimes relationships are cut off. Sometimes we move to new cities. Sometimes things take place to change our jobs. We want God in the beginnings and God also in the endings. But the good news also is this. These Greek words for Alpha and Omega don't mean that Jesus Christ is our Alpha and he's also our Omega. It means he's right here as Alpha Omega. He's actually beginning and ending at the same time. He's Alpha Omega. He's both things put together. He's our beginning and he is our ending. And that's why the devil tries to mess up our endings every way he can. I want you to turn down your Bibles quickly. I want to read a few verses and close with this. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this to see what Satan's desire is for us as far as endings are concerned. Isaiah 14, verses 1 through 2, or 1 and 2. Make sure I'm on the right deal. That's right. He talks about Lucifer himself giving a charge to God. And it says in verse 1, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and he will also choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Now, I'm sorry, man. I think I'm actually needing to go to a different verse here. Let's see here. I want to read through. I'm going to start reading here in. I've got the wrong verses. I'm going to start reading verse 9 and keep on going down from there. It talks about Satan himself. Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones. I'm sorry, the earth. It is raised up from their thrones. All the kings of the nations. They shall all speak and also say to you, Have you also become as one with us? Have you also become like us? Your pomp is brought down to the grave. The sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How you fall from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cast down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your hearts, I will ascend to heaven. Notice this now. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mound of the congregations on the farthest sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Want you to notice those verses there, 13 and 14 is the right ones, actually. I will take and ascend myself on the sides of the north. Now, where's those words also seen in the Bible? Let's turn back now to Psalms chapter 48. Psalms 48. And I do know this is verses 1 and 2. Sorry, the wrong verses written down there, but it was 13 and 14. Psalms 48, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn back to that. Sides of the north is what it says that Satan wanted to have, where he wanted to be at. And chapter 48, verse 1 and 2 says this, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the holy mountain, beautiful in situation or elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. We all know today that the word Zion talks about the church of Jesus Christ. This is saying here that Satan's desire has always been to set in the place of authority over the congregations of God upon the earth. Satan wants every believer to end their life with him being their king, their Lord, their Savior, being Satan himself, he hopes, somehow, some way. And he'll accomplish that, he knows, he believes this, by a root of bitterness coming inside of people's hearts and lives that have not been cut out by the power of Jesus Christ himself. As I'm writing this book still this week, some more, I got some more time to write a little bit on progressive Christian life. I'm on chapter 6 now, the tribe named Naphtali. I came across an amazing thing. I'd never seen this before. What I came across was bitterness was very, very ripe in Esau's life because Jacob, his twin brother, grabbed his heel at birth and became a heel grasper and stole his birthright several years later and takes all the blessings from Esau onto himself. Esau was so full of bitterness and anger, he tried to find ways to kill Jacob, and Jacob runs away to a foreign land, only comes back 20 years later, but God did a work in Esau's life, and Esau did not kill him when he saw him face to face. The interesting thing here is, whenever Jacob crosses the ford Jabbok to go across to see his brother the next day, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ pre-incarnate, begins to wrestle with Jacob and touches him at the joint in his hip and wrenches his hip and pulls it out of its joint. Why did he do that? The place where Jacob grabbed his own brother's heel was right next to the socket of the hip of his mother, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac's mother was actually his wife was Rebekah. In Rebekah's own womb, in the birth canal next to her hip, he grabs his brother's heel and does the first offense in his life. What God said to me very, very clearly back on Thursday last week was this: I take people back to the point of offense. And the Savior, the Lord God, Jehovah Yahweh, shows up, Redeemer, Savior, and Deliverer, and sets them free from the thing they did to cause the offense to happen, maybe sometimes years and years ago. So the root of bitterness is cut off in Jesus' name. Isn't that good? Now, the Bible says Jacob began to walk with a limp the rest of his life. But the fact is, he's trying to show him there, I have healed you, and your day of recovery has already come. And he was so amazed when he saw Esau, he was already forgiven by him, and he couldn't believe that. Well, James, come here to help me out, please, at the end of this service. I want to pray today. We're going to end here at this point here again, that Jesus needs to be our beginning and our ending, because I sense today, one thing God is saying to us very clearly is that be aware that the devil who saw you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior perhaps decades ago, years ago, days ago, weeks ago, is not excited by your decision. He's going to try to make sure that messes appear in your life, to try to put a root of bitterness in you from those messes. God is saying again today, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Because bitterness, the Bible says, defiles many people that you touch upon this earth. Let's bow our head right now. Let's pray for a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us today how that word applies to me. How does it apply to you? How does it apply to those we touch upon the earth? Father God, you said in your word that sometimes life does get messy. We see now many people have gone through tremendous messes like David did in Ziklag years ago. But we also see how those whose hearts were toward the Lord, things turned out redemptively and for the best in the long run. I pray right now, I say today, every lie Satan has sown, that the mess we're in today will only get worse and worse and worse. I say today is a day of my recovery in the name of Jesus. And I declare everything the enemy has stolen from me, in time, in energy, in finances, in relationships, in positions, I say those things are being recovered in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he is the author and finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things he's begun in my life. And I say God will not lose his place at the end of my life, at the end of my relationships, at the end of my job, at the end of whatever you place in my life. I say Satan will not gain the victory over me. I will not leave bad. I will not leave angry. I will not leave bitter. I will leave declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of my endings and my beginnings. In the name of Jesus. That's for someone right now today. There's someone today that you've left a relationship perhaps. You've left a marriage. You've left a job. You've left a neighborhood, a city, a church. And God is saying, may Jesus Christ go back to that place and touch the hip. Touch the place of offense. He may have to wrench your hip and bring a limp for a while, but he will heal you of all that root and take that root out. God is a great root extractor. And God takes all those twining roots and removes them so delicately, yet so powerfully and so completely that it's like they never even existed in your life. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed today. Just for privacy's sake again. Who am I talking to today, honestly, who can say that you know that you need to get some of those roots removed from your life today? Just raise your hand just for a moment. Raise your hand right across the congregation. I want to see how many folks you're praying for today. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's all stand to our feet now, please. I'm going to have us all, if we can, to join hands together and do what's called body ministry to each other. Let's just join hands. I'm going to have Cheryl come to the front and join my hand as well. I want those whose hands are raised up to pray for yourselves, and those whose hands should have been raised up, pray for yourselves. Would you ask God today to take the roots, bitterness, messes, disappointments, loss from your heart today? Let him do a roto-rooter job today. Remove those things like he can. Let's ask for that right now. Father, we praise you and thank you, O God. My life belongs to you. My life is in your hands. And I say my heart is open now to you, Father God, to do as you want in my life. I ask you, Lord, today to remove all these roots from my heart. Bitterness, anger, disappointments, betrayal. Things, oh God, that have robbed me from things I should have had that did not get because of what man did to me or circumstances did to me. I lay all these things, oh God, at your feet this day. And I say, take these roots, O God, from me. Remove, O God, these poisonous roots out of my life in the name of Jesus. And fill those gaps in, O God, with your presence, your love, your grace, the balm of Gilead. You pour in the oil, you pour in the wine. And you set me free, O God. You set me free in Jesus' name. Father, I choose also even right now to forgive and release people who wronged me, hurt me, wounded me. I say out of my own will right now, I forgive them. In the name of Jesus, whatever their name may be, their face may look like, I'm saying right now, I see them and I forgive them in Jesus' name. Today is my day of recovery. Not one day, not someday, not it could be, but I say today is my day of recovery in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, my heart is whole, my heart is sound, and I find myself spiritually healthy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. Yes. Let's just give God a hand clap of praise here just to seal that thing. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Yes. You'd be amazed that there's things that maybe even are being blocked up in your life of hearing God's voice, of having a flow of God's blessings, provision, peace, no more nightmares, insomnia. There's many things that actually will just kind of start going away like a blower on cotton seeds because you chose to get the roots cut out by God's help and God's hand. Amen? There's many leaves on trees that God doesn't deal with. God wants the root. When the root is taken care of, the fruit comes off automatically. Amen? And as I say, today you are free in Jesus' name. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody have something else they want to share briefly before we close here in prayer? Something come to somebody here? All right. We'll let Jack go ahead and get our microphone again today. Please, you help us out with that. This week again, just remind yourself, if any of those old thorns or things start to come back inside your mind that causes anger to rise up or whatever's there, remind your mind, remind your soul. Like David did, he said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." And I'm saying just right there, cut those thoughts off, cut those feelings off by cutting those thoughts off and saying, "I put my trust in God. He is the author and finisher, the Alpha and the Omega of my situation in the name of Jesus." Amen? May God restore. May God help us recover all. On Wednesday night, if you can come back, we're on the next series there, next teaching on heroes in the Bible. You'll enjoy that. It'll be very meaty and beneficial as well. May God bless you guys this week. Thanks for honoring me on my birthday as well. It's been a good birthday weekend thus far. And I don't feel much older, but it's been a great year. It's going to be a good year coming up. Don't forget the cookies, but do save me one cookie at least. Amen? Save me at least one cookie. I appreciate that. God bless you. There's a quick meeting for picnic helpers. Those want to help out right here in the children's church upstairs. There's a quick meeting for those who want to help us to volunteer for the picnic happening in about 3 weeks. Okay, God bless you. If you help us out, Jack, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you love us. Father, we thank you that you just come and you teach us about your wonderful ways, Lord God, and you come and you set our hearts free to know you, to love you, and then you show us how to continue to walk in that freedom. So, Father, we embrace your word that was spoken today, and we receive it with joy in our hearts. And I just ask, Father, that the peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds as we walk with you throughout the week. In the name of Jesus, and they all said, Amen.